MoneyWeb now on the money.
This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Chatting with Suresh Khan, Old Mutual Investment Group investment analyst. Suresh, appreciate the time today. Inflation higher for longer. Sort of the first couple of decades of this century, we had certainly in developed markets to a degree in South Africa, actually very low inflation. That is changing. Yes. And truthfully, we're probably going to see higher inflation for not just a year or two, but frankly, for potentially decades into the future.
That's correct, Simon. Yeah, just a little bit of background where we've come from. So, I mean, in 2020, the COVID-19 lockdowns caused these massive supply chain disruptions. Mm. We had production delays, shipping delays, and bottlenecks. And all of that kind of led to these supply shortages, which pushed up prices. And at the same time, we saw this unprecedented fiscal stimulus in the US where people were receiving checks in the mail and sitting at home and had nothing else to do besides buy things online. And so we had this rise in demand, which led to inflation soaring to uncomfortably high levels that we saw in 2021. And so, I mean, drastic action had to be taken. Mm-hmm. And the Fed, I think it was the fastest rate hiking cycle that they've ever experienced. And so with interest rates currently in restrictive territory around 5 to 5.5%, that has caused some slowdown in demand, especially considering the fact that lockdowns have eased. And so those pressures on supply chains have eased as well. And inflation has come down from those high levels of something in the region of 8% in 2021, 2022. But they are still higher than the Fed's target. So this last little mile of inflation, so to call it, has been a little bit more challenging and is stickier. But the Fed, I mean, in the US, they've reiterated their commitment to getting back down to 2%. But the Fed is trying to bring down inflation while there are these undercurrents that we've been seeing, these long-term, broader trends that are suggesting that longer-term inflation will likely be higher, as you said, than we've seen in the past two decades. And the reasons for this, we like to call them the three Ds because they all start with D. Mm-hmm. The first one being demographics. So we look at this measure called the global age dependency ratio, which is the ratio mm-hmm. of non-working age people, so young people below the age of 15 and older people, the ratio of that to the working age population. So the working age population being people between 15 and call it 64. And that ratio declined like dramatically earlier in the 1960s because of people entering the workforce. Mm-hmm. But what we're seeing now is as people live longer and a rise in aging population, we're seeing the elderly grow as a share of the population. And so what tends to happen and what research shows is that inflationary pressures rise when the share of dependence increases. So that's one factor. And then secondly, we have deglobalization. Mm-hmm. So world trade as a share of global GDP or global production, it increased dramatically in the 1980s because of global integration, like reduction of trade barriers and tariffs. And of course, China entered the world economy and exported their extremely low prices. So you had these deflationary pressures from that. But that increased to about 60% world trade as a share of global GDP. And since the 2000s, it's kind of plateaued. It's dropped a bit and has plateaued. And that can be attributed to these trade wars that we're seeing, technology wars, geopolitical conflict. And what that has led to is that many countries are encouraging their companies to onshore or friendshoring, as they call mm-hmm. it. So they're not producing in the cheapest places to produce and manufacture. They're actually bringing that closer to home, so to speak. And so that is not the most cost effective, but what that means is that there's inflationary pressures on the prices of goods coming from that. And then the last factor that we think will contribute is decarbonization. So, I mean, countries and companies have been pledging to this net zero initiative by 2050. And the scale of costs that are required to achieve that is immense. I think there are companies or research institutions that have tried to measure the cost implications of that. And I think it's futile. But what we do know is that it is significant. There will be a lot of investment required, and it will place pressure on a lot of the commodities that are required for the green transition. So, I mean, all of that is to say that the future is going to be, or is likely to be, different than the past. And as you mentioned, investors have become accustomed to this kind of low inflation world of the past two decades. But in reality, we don't think that that's likely to persist into the future. And we think that investors need to adjust their inflation expectations higher. And importantly, the impact of that on their investment portfolios.
And that, I mean, it'll be interest rates as well. We're expecting some cuts, yes, but we're not going to go back to those levels. Sort of the resting rate will be higher. And there was a lovely stat that came out around, if we look at the SARB's low end of the rate, that's 3%, that inflation rate, your 10,000 over a 30-year period, you know, gives you buying power of 4,000. Do we almost just need to double down on the classic investment principles? Asset allocation, diversification, staying invested, rather than, I don't know, running out and trying to almost chase return. In other words, just go back to classic investing 101.
Yes, yeah. So, I mean, as you mentioned, inflation, and the biggest lesson in the publication is inflation is your enemy. Inflation erodes your spending power. And that example you said is perfect. Mm. If you had 10,000 Rand today in, I think it was 30 years, was it 30 years? That's going to decline to less than 2,000 if inflation ends up at the higher target of the SARB's ban, which is 6%. And as you mentioned, that 3%, you're going to end up with 60% less value for money from that 10,000 Rand. So yes, inflation really is something that you need to overcome and ensure that your investment portfolio is delivering returns that are in excess of inflation. And to do that, yes, there are the age-old things. Make sure you're invested for as long as possible. Invest as much as possible. But I think the crux is that you need equities in your portfolio. So historically, the best way to protect your purchasing power has been by investing in growth assets such as equities. So I think over the past 94 years, we've looked at 94 years of data in the publication, South African equities have delivered 7.1% per year, and that is after inflation, which is tremendous. But of course, you know, those returns don't come in a straight line. There is definitely some volatility and there's going to be some short-term losses when you invest in risky assets such as equities. And that is what can deter some investors, particularly risk-cognizant ones. But we've looked at returns over various 20-year periods since 1925. And while investing in equities gives you the best chance of protecting your buying power, cash gives you the worst chance, but having a diversified portfolio that has a blend of asset classes, as you mentioned, diversification, that is a great solution because that also allows you to protect your purchasing power, but also manages some of the risk of the volatility, which some investors don't really want to take on.
I take the point on that. It is volatility. I mean, do bonds then come into the equation? I'm thinking particularly of developed market bonds where we've had, I mean, nothing forever in a day.
Yes.
They're not going to give me the equity return, but they're going to give me a nice return and importantly, at lower volatility.
Absolutely. So, I mean, we've come from this world where people have coined TINA. There is no alternative to equities. And that really is because developed market bonds over the past two decades, interest rates were so low that actually in real terms, in some regions, you were earning negative returns in real terms. And so now with this higher inflation world, all things being equal, central banks would likely raise interest rates as well in order to maintain or to ensure that inflation remains within some kind of margin of their target. And so we expect higher inflation, therefore higher interest rates. And that means that bonds become more attractive. And as you mentioned, recently, interest rates have risen quite dramatically. And so bonds are offering you attractive real returns. And therefore, there are real alternatives to equities. It might not be the eye-watering returns that we've seen from global equities in the past few years, but it broadens your investment universe and it expands the number of asset classes that you can invest in, which helps when you're trying to build a diversified portfolio.
Yeah, it is that diversification. And as you say, it's no longer, there is no alternative to equities. We live in a we live in a new world. Suresh Khan, Old Mutual Investment Group, investment analyst, really appreciate the time. The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.